Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with another week of the RJP Rewind. And today we are going to be talking about Pimp My Ride on the podcast. Two episodes of Pimp My Ride that we are going to talk about. We'll have the links in the show notes for you, including the premiere of Pimp My Ride with a man who was there in the real time watching all the rides get pimped. Coming off of a big trip this week, please welcome the great Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob,
how are you?
I'm good. And, you know, coming down from, is it like a vacation hangover or something? You know, like when you spend a lot of time away from the real world and it's kind of like you come crashing back down to reality. That's kind of where I am right now. You know, just kind of like getting readjusted to the real life because I have been relaxing all week. So, you know, it's good to be back. And, you know, as usual, very excited to talk to you.
Chappelle is taking a quick break from taking over the RHAP Instagram account.
Yeah, it's been fun. I started last night at about midnight Eastern, which actually is 11 o'clock my time. So I started a little early, but because I'm Chappelle and those are my normal hours of operation when it comes to social media, I felt like it was, you know, something that I could pull off. And I was given the keys to the car and I drove off with it. So been having a good time.
The ride. Yeah. You've pimped the ride of our Instagram account.
I'm not even finished. I'm just getting started. I haven't had a chance to really like focus on it because I unfortunately have a job and they've been making me work. So, you know, when I'm off the clock, you know, assuming that I'm not already off the clock, but if I was on the clock doing a podcast, when I'm off the clock, I'm going to focus a little bit more on the Instagram takeover.
Okay. Well, Chappelle, we had a lot of fun last week. Liana was here. We talked about Flavor of Love. Everybody seemed like they really liked that.
Yeah. The Love Doctor, Liana. I think before this is all said and done, we might have to.
I don't
have
think
Liana
she wants to go
back
by the Love Doctor.
You don't think so? Like the Doctor of Love, wouldn't that be what Liana's show would be called? Doctor of
Doctor of Love. Okay, so it's and where's Puya in this?
Puya is Big Rick. So Puya gets to like hand out the like the loveograms and the stethoscopes. You know, hold them all. They all have a face on them. I think we could workshop this, and Liana doesn't have to actually be with any of these people, as we've seen.
Why does she have a stethoscope?
The Doctor.
Yeah.
Doctor of Love, MD. Duh,
yeah,
Rob.
Yeah, but I think she's more of a scientist than
are doctors of medicine not scientists? Rob,
yeah, I guess
what are we doing?
I mean, I guess so. I don't know.
I don't know her field of science. Yeah. I just know if you say doctor to me, even if you're a doctor in something that doesn't really count, like dentistry, I still assume that there might be a stethoscope involved.
Yeah, what would yours be called?
I don't know. What is it? I don't know. We talked about this. I think we were something about my tweets, right? I don't know. What do you think?
Do you have any nicknames? I mean, that you just go are like one word, Chappelle.
I do. Yeah, I don't have any nicknames. People just kind of call me whatever they want to call me, and I try to get people to call me by my name, which is Chappelle.
Well, if people just call you what they want to call you, then it sounds like you have a lot of nicknames.
I don't know if that constitutes a nickname. It's just people choosing to ignore my wishes.
Yeah. Okay.
Like GIF versus GIF, right? Like, you know, the guy said it's GIF, but some people are just determined to call it GIF because they know better than the creator. So something like that.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if we come up with what your spinoff of Love show would be. But let's talk about Pimp My Ride here today. And this is not a show that I was super. I of course I knew what it was. Like I like know that, like it's an easy concept to get, but I never was watching Pimp My Ride in the real time. I was surprised that Pimp My Ride premieres in 2004. It looks like I would have thought this was like in the late 90s.
The late 90s. Well, don't get me wrong. The clips we watched, the episodes we watched, do look very dated. But I don't think you have the things in the late 90s that they're talking about. Some of the times in Pimp My Ride, they really try to be luxurious with the electronics that they do, that they use and put in the cars. And a lot of those electronics just weren't present in the 90s. You get a lot of like, we'll put an MP3 player in your dashboard, or like we've installed an iPod Nano, you know. So mm-hmm. a lot of that stuff is like we'll date the show to around the, you know, early 2000s. But yeah, but pimping in general as like a like phrase had kind of like disappeared until this time. So yeah, this is kind of one of those things where it could have been the late 90s if not for all of the like the new electronic devices that they're throwing around, because it's very dated.
I mean, wasn't Jay-Z big pimping in the late 90s?
He was. I'm very proud of you. Who else was on the song, Rob? Come on.
I did that. I don't have to.
Come on. You can do it. It's UGK, man. Pimp C, Bun B, you know? Yeah. Look, ask Nicole if she's ever met any of those people. I'm sure she has.
Maybe.
She met all my rap icons, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, yeah, that was pimping as well. But again, like I said, it kind of died away. But Big Pimpin' came out in 2000. So it was like resurging, you know, at that point. So not late 90s, but definitely early 2000s.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to talk about two different episodes of Pimp My Ride. The premiere of Pimp My Ride, season one, episode one. And then we're going to jump ahead to talk about a season five episode, which we believe to be season five, episode 15. So we're sort of going to bookend Pimp My Ride, how it started versus how it's going.
Exactly. So there's a big difference between season one and season five. I, you know, aside from the timeline, they go from being like this, the film that like, I believe it was like West Coast Customs. Yeah. Right. But by season five, I believe they get bought by another like auto shop place called Galpin Auto Sports. Mm-hmm. And so like there's a shift in the tone of the show, as well as the cast, honestly. And one of the things that you'll notice is that initially the show is kind of, it's new, right? And it's new and it's shiny and people don't really know what it's going to be. By season five, it's completely like distorted and it's all over the top. It's a mess. So it started off a mess and just gets messier by the time it gets to the last couple of seasons. So I think it's appropriate that we're doing, you know, one from season one and then one from season five.
Chappell, are you a car guy?
In a way. So I can work on my own car and I'm very confident in working on my own car.
But do you like cars? Are you like, you know a lot about cars?
No. The most that I know about cars, I probably learned on Pimp My Ride. And, you know, for me, knowing how to fix my own car is very important. But I think I might be scarred from some of the things I've seen on Pimp My Ride and some of the shenanigans that I read about as well for some of the people who actually took their show on Pimp My Ride. But I'm not a car guy in any general sense. What about you, Rob?
No, I'm not a car guy. I don't like cars. I don't really know too much about cars. And so the idea of like, okay, let's like take some old jalopy and fix it up was never like an exciting idea for me.
Yeah. And see, I think in the early 2000s, it was becoming a trend to like, to talk about, you know, like the fast cars. There were the video games, there were the fast cars, like Driver and Need for Speed, things of that nature. And the Fast and the Furious came out in 2001. Yes. And so I think those things were aligned. So it was kind of creating a culture of, you know, like gearheads, you know, people who are fascinated with cars, but also, you know, want to learn everything about fixing them, souping them up, racing them, all that stuff. This was the perfect time for a show like this.
Yeah. And there's a little bit of wish fulfillment in that. I think that the target audience for this show are like young people who tend to have like the crappiest cars around. That I know that as a young person that I definitely had a super crappy car. So it's sort of like, yeah, you have a crappy car, but if you could just get on Pimp My Ride, they could turn your car into something amazing.
Right. Rob, what kind of crappy car did you have?
So my main crappy car was that I had a Ford Taurus that I'm trying to remember the year. It was the like early, it was the late 90s when I had it. And I want to say it was like an 86 Ford Taurus.
Oh, wow. Your car was older than me. I too had a crappy car. I had an Isuzu Rodeo. I believe it was a 1998 Isuzu Rodeo. And calling it crappy honestly hurts my soul because I'm still in love with that car to this day. I mean, like, I had it. It would have been a good candidate for this show, honestly. It wasn't as raggedy as some of the hoopties we're about to get into, but it for sure had like, I might have used Gorilla Glue on the mm-hmm. side view mirrors. That's yeah. all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, but Gorilla Glue is very strong. It's not as unsightly as duct tape. So, you know, for me, that's what kept my crappy car on the road. But I think I could have done with some pimping, you know, for my car at least.
Yeah. Do you know anything about like how this show came together? Was this that somebody had the idea for Pimp My Ride and they found Exhibit, or was Exhibit somebody who had the idea for this show and that's why he ends up being the face of Pimp My Ride?
Yeah, I think he ends up being the face of Pimp My Ride, but just as like a consequence of them needing a host. You'll see in the first episode, they do name off a couple of West Coast like customs, like clientele. And right there in the list is our very own Exhibit.
Yeah.
And so for the uninitiated, Exhibit is slash was, I don't know what his status is now, but a rapper. And so, you know, with that community of people, you know, they like their fancy, yeah. flashy cars. And so Exhibit was one of their clients.
It seems like Exhibit has acted a lot more than he has been a musical performer of late.
I don't know. Like, what have you seen Exhibit in lately?
Well, I'm just on his IMDb that he was on Empire, which I'm assuming that he was acting and not performing musically on Empire. It was on a show called Broken Ground. And also was on Hawaii 5-0.
Oh, like the reboot?
Yeah, the new one.
Yeah, I enjoyed the reboot, but I don't recall Exhibit being there. Maybe he was just like a one-off character. Mm-hmm. But that being said, if Exhibit was making rap music, neither one of us would know. because I think Exhibit, I think he stopped. Let's see.
What's his biggest song?
Ooh, it's called, oh God, don't let me lie to you. I feel bad because like I did listen to Exhibit in the 2000s, but honestly, I will butcher whatever I come up with for the name of his most popular song.
It seems like he's
song.
Around Eminem a lot in the early going.
Oh yeah, I've seen a lot of like Exhibit in popular culture, but as far as music goes, he's not like a legendary rapper, right? Mm-hmm. Like he is a rapper who made really good music, like solid music, but he never was like the top of anybody's like playlist. I did listen to Exhibit, but it wasn't like if like how I like marveled over your, you know, knowledge of Big Pimpin' earlier. Mm-hmm. There's like if you told me Exhibit like's top song, I would be shocked because I mean you would know it and I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. But I think his song was X. You know, it was named after him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but aside from that, no, I don't think Exhibit is like, he's not a bad rapper by any means. Exhibit got skills, but he's just never been like a very commercial rapper.
Okay. All right. Pimp My Ride, season one, episode one, March 2004, a magical time for reality TV. We get to meet a young man named Wyatt, and he has a hijab.
So I legit had no clue what this car was supposed to be or what it was.
I've never heard of this car before.
I believe it's a hijet. And so it's a Daihatsu hijet, I believe is what the car is called. And I too had never heard of this. If you told me he invented this vehicle just so they could create Pimp My Ride, mm-hmm. I would not have been shocked. Somebody
it's more of a go-kart than a truck or a vehicle.
Somebody in the episode described it as a toaster on donuts. And that's probably the most like spot on comparison I could think of because it does look like the brave little toaster on wheels. I don't know why he's driving this car. I think he said it cost him, what, $400? So he made an effort to have this car. He seems to love it a lot. But this car is ruining his life, or at least he says it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why he still has it if this car is so bad for him. Like, I get it, but like, at least just, I don't know, catch the bus. If the car is actively destroying you, like it's Christine or something, then don't you want to get rid of it?
I don't know. He feels like it's hurting his life. His family members all just like mock him. Nobody seems concerned for Wyatt's safety in the hijab.
What? Who's the hijet?
Hijet.
It's a hijet. Yeah. No, they don't seem concerned because he doesn't seem concerned. Mm-hmm. But he's riding around with shovels and the dashboard is like missing and there's no front seat and there's no like bumper. There's nothing in this car except junk. And if he seems okay with it, I guess they have to. But I think the question that I have is that throughout the episode, he says, I can't get a job because of this car. Sir, where are you going and why are you showing them your car mm-hmm. when you pull up? Like, you obviously know you need to work. Why would you like, oh yeah, I need a job. By the way, here's my hideous car. Don't you want to deny my application?
Can he get dropped off at the job interview?
I think so. But what interview are you going on to where they care that much about your car?
Chappelle, maybe they're like, well, do you have reliable transportation? And he's like, nah, I got to be honest. I don't.
Do you have to be honest? Like, at that point, don't you just lie?
I have a high shot.
Right. It's a high jet. He says, look, you say, do you have reliable transportation? And he says, define reliable. does it roll? Yes. Should it be?
Yeah.
No. You know, so I don't know why he feels the need to tell people about this car. Maybe he wants to be a delivery driver. Look, his goal is to get a car that will let him get a job so that he can go to college so that he can start a band, Rob. Start a band.
So, I'm surprised we haven't heard about why it's banned in the time since this episode aired. But Chappelle, the one thing that has been a recurring theme of the RHAP Rewind as we've gone back and looked at these things were presented to us as fact. And now, in hindsight, we learn that there are a lot of shenanigans that goes on.
Yes, devastated Chappelle is here. You know, I love a good shenanigan. But I also like to believe that my reality TV is just that, a reality. But Pimp My Ride, I had to pull back the curtain a little bit on Cribs. I'm definitely mm-hmm. going to have to pull back the curtain a little bit on Pimp My Ride. We didn't really give the uninitiated the like rundown of what Pimp My Ride is. But what they do is they take a seemingly like horrible looking vehicle from a young person and they say, hey, this car is ugly or dangerous or whatever, and we're going to fix it up for you. And then you're going to have a brand new pimped out ride. And when they say pimped, they mean pimped like as a pimp would be, like wearing like bright colored suits and having like goblets and chalices and all this other stuff. Like, your car is very much bound to like slap an individual once they're done with it. Because they're going to have it like in lime green with like racing stripes.
With
like
a fedora.
Right, with a fedora. Like, no, serious. Like, it sounds like we're joking. But if you have not seen the show, like, I'm sure you could Google, like, fedora in car, and there'll be an episode of Pimp My Ride. Like, fish tank and dashboard, that kind of thing. Like, anything over the top, they're trying to do it. And that's their version of pimping their someone's ride.
Chappelle, do you think the person who's listening to this podcast that's 19, 20 years old, do you think, is there a chance that they might not know Pimp My Ride?
I thought about this, actually. And Pimp My Ride, even for the people who didn't watch the show, this was such a heavily referenced show in popular culture back then. Like, Rob, I understand you weren't a watcher of Pimp My Ride, but you knew the premise,
certainly,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like it just became like almost just slang or just like in just like the atmosphere. It's just people were just referencing it. So would, like, I don't know, Felipe Shimon know about Pimp My Ride? Yeah. Because Felipe is dialed in, you know. Yeah. But for the people living under a rock, you might have missed it. I'm talking about
like people like younger than that. People like that are like college freshmen, high school seniors.
They have no clue what this show is at all. I don't think anybody said pimp since I was in college. So, you know, there's that too. Well, so the premise of the show is what the theme song says. You want to be a player.
Yeah, well, I have the theme song queued up. I love the theme song. I think the theme song is the best part of the show. All right, here's a Pimp My Ride theme song.
So you want to be a player, but your wheels ain't flying. You got to hit us up to get a pimped out ride. Damn right.
Damn right.
Yeah, you want to be a player and your vehicles not fly.
That's the premise of the show.
Mm-hmm.
However, like, look, comma, but I looked into this and there were a ton of shenanigans. We alluded to them earlier, but come to find out, a lot of these people, the show presented like, hey, they come and take this horrible car off your hands and give you like, you know, like they soup it up. You keep the car you love. And now you drive away in a working like gaudy individual like car. Right.
Yeah.
Come to find out, sometimes they just did a lot to where some of the adjustments they make to the car, you can't keep. Some of them make the car unsafe to drive. Some
you
of them
can't
take,
keep. What, they undo the pimping?
They do undo.
They unpimp it?
They unpimp it. They unpimp your ride. Listen, first of all, there's nothing in this world worse than being unpimped once you've been pimped.
Mm-hmm.
Some say. I don't necessarily prescribe. Whatever. Anyway, so
it
what
hasn't
I'm saying
happened
is
yet.
I haven't been pimped or I haven't been unpimped. Listen, that's definitely have never been pimped.
Okay.
Open to being pimped, though. If you know anybody wants to pimp my ride, then, you know, whatever.
Pimp my anything.
Yeah, I'm down with that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, unpimping is where the problem lies with this show. So the show will do some monstrous things to your car, such as put like a fish tank in the dashboard, or, you know,
you said
we'll
that twice.
On.
They really did that to somebody.
They really did that.
What
to somebody.
Happens when you slam on the brakes?
Oh, no, that's why they unpimp it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this was cute or whatever. But we have to take it out because otherwise you will die.
Yeah.
There's a guy who gets a jacuzzi in his backseat again. Why? What are mm-hmm. you going to do with that? Like, how are you going to drive around with a bathtub in the back of your car? Not in a pickup truck, like not in the bed of the truck, like some like, you know, backwoods Louisiana nonsense. But like actually inside the cab of the car, there was a jacuzzi. And so, yeah, you do this for show. You do this for television. But then you also have to kind of dial it back a little bit. And so you can actually drive away in the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. OK.
Yeah.
All right. So Wyatt has this car and then Exhibit shows up. And this is a fun part of the show when Exhibit comes to your house and basically shames you for how crappy your car is.
Yeah. See, Exhibit is a nice guy. He really is. And his goal is to kind of make this like experience real for whoever is getting pimped that week. And so Exhibit comes in and he's very funny. Honestly, he comes in and he will make his little like one liners about your car, about your vehicle, about you. He really is there to poke fun at you, but he's not a producer. So he doesn't have any say so in anything that's happening. He just shows up and mm-hmm. deals with what's going on. I'm always fascinated with how he shows up because they make it look like Exhibit is carless. He walks down the street and then shows up at someone's home. He analyzes their car a little bit. Then he knocks on the door and they're very shocked to see him and very happy. But this being the first episode, I have a feeling that Wyatt had no clue who Exhibit was mm-hmm. and was just very excited to be having his car fixed up.
Yeah. You feel like Wyatt might not have been familiar with Exhibit's discography?
Yeah, his whole catalog might be foreign to Wyatt, to say the least. I think that as the show went on, people were more excited to see Exhibit because they then knew like, oh, it's a part of the show. Like, it's like, oh, look, Jeff Probst is here, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard the producers did a lot of like poking at the people to make them, you know, exaggerate their enthusiasm a little bit.
What do you mean? People weren't excited for Exhibit to show up?
So not so much for Exhibit.
And I liked also how that your go-to reference for a person that you'd be excited to see is Jeff Probst is here.
Yeah, well, I thought about, what is it, that family visit? Is it Malcolm's little brother who's mm-hmm. like, oh my God, it's Jeff Probst, you know? Like, that's the vibe they're trying to get for Exhibit. And it kind of ends up there.
Like
eventually.
Your loved one visiting.
Yeah, like a loved one visit, right? But yeah, the producers are like telling them like, hey, when he knocks on the door, you have to be surprised. Like, this is supposed to look like it's not staged. But Rob, they stage it to the point where they even give them houses to be at when he knocks on the door. Some of these
fake
aren't even
houses.
Home. Fake houses. MTV rented out some houses for several of the people and said, you know what? Your house isn't either ratty enough or isn't good for the mm-hmm. reveal. Maybe we need to be able to get the camera to the door a little bit better. So they've given them like decoy locations to walk out of so that Exhibit can like surprise them.
Yeah. Chappelle, are these the houses that weren't good enough to be MTV Cribs houses?
You know it. You know, look, We'd be shocked if MTV is actually like taking the precautions to be like, oh, we'll try a different house. We didn't already use it. Like, no, they probably have like a catalog of the houses they're going to use. And when it doesn't work for one show, they just shift to the next one.
So, but to me, honestly, that's no big deal. Okay. Like park the car in a different. Now, if you told me that the car isn't even the person's car, that's where I say, well, what the hell are we even doing?
Well, there are some shenanigans behind the cars too. You know, we use the term reality really loosely on this one because the cars are often bad. But for television purposes, the producers have been known to make the cars worse. Some people who have been on the show have reported that like one guy said, my grandmother is a smoker. So the producers threw a bunch of cigarette butts in the bottom of my car to make it look like it's like an ashtray. But just because I mentioned that my grandma is a smoker and she rides with me because they want to make this car look as grotesque as possible so that the reveal when they've souped it up is a lot better. But that does hurt my feelings a lot because I'm thinking people are driving around with shovels and stuff in their car. You know, 2004 was I was merely a wee lad. And so I believed a lot of what I saw. So, yeah, I'm a little, my feelings are a little hurt to find out that no, this guy did not have he wasn't standing up while driving. Essentially, he actually had seats in his car, but they took one out so it'd look better. Or, you know, he had two windshields a windshield, but they broke it, you know, so that, you know, they could fix it. I don't know. It's too many shenanigans for me. And I'm a shenanigan type guy. But at some point, you know, we're blurring the lines of reality way too much.
Do we have any way of knowing how big of a hit was Pimp My Ride? Was it like the top show on MTV at the time?
I don't think so, but I think it had its audience. I don't know if we have any way of like knowing the ratings for the show, but it did last six seasons and a whole production change as well with them switching, auto shops. And so because of that, I'm forced to believe that it was doing pretty well. Either that or it's really, really cheap to produce.
Yeah.
There were even international adaptations of Pimp My Ride. In my reviewing the show for this conversation with you, I might have came across some European versions that were pretty interesting. We had Lil Jon hosting, I believe, what was it? The Netherlands had a version.
Lil Jon hosted the Netherlands Pimp My Ride?
Yeah. Him and Fat Joe, they both were there. I saw a couple of good clips. Yeah. I believe YouTube Australia YouTube MTV Australia would have a lot of those clips. And I got into them. But they had like German Pimp My Ride, Italian Pimp My Ride for motorcycles. I mean, anytime you could find a hip hop group to stand in front of a bunch of cars, they were doing it. And it didn't matter which country they were in.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So Exhibit is going to take the hijet and they're going to take it to go to West Coast custom guys. I like when Exhibit has to drive the car.
You want some more shenanigans?
He's not really driving the car?
So sometimes Exhibit drove the car. Other times the car didn't seem safe enough for Exhibit to drive, so they towed it. So he would pretend to drive the car off, park the car, and then they would bring in the tow truck to drag the car to West Coast Customs because they don't want Exhibit to die driving in these.
Was it green screen?
No, like he drove that particular car, but some episodes they just drove it enough for him to get around the corner and then he parks it like, okay, let me get out of here.
Yeah.
He climbs through like the back door because a lot of these doors don't open on these cars, and then they drag the car to West Coast Customs.
Yeah. Exhibit was talking on the phone, not hands-free. It looked like he was swerving all over the road. Like, he was really getting crazy behind the wheel of the hijet.
I can imagine. It's a hijet. It's okay.
Hijet?
Like a plane.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
J-E-T-S.
Like, your jets.
Yeah.
You should be a big fan of this car, a Daihatsu hijet.
Yeah.
Also, I'm sure discontinued, much like your Taurus.
I think it's like the Jets, I was going to say, Chappelle. I'll hang up this call right
now. The Jets exist.
Yes.
They are perceived by people. They exist. But yeah, so I think Exhibit just drives the car long enough for them to get the clip. Then he gets out the car and they pray that it makes it to the body shop.
Yeah. Okay. So then they get to the car to the body shop. All the guys at the body shop rag on the car. Talk about even the key is messed up and they all make fun of it. So there's a big difference, I feel like, in the season one episode versus the season five. Like, I think the first half of the episode is pretty similar. The back half of the episodes, I feel like, are wildly different. Here, we get, I feel like we're sort of like in the writer's room of the West Coast custom guys of like, what if we did this? How about this idea? How about, like, there's no bad ideas in brainstorming.
Yeah, and I don't want to get into too much of the brainstorming because that will ruin the reveal of the car for the podcasters. But yeah, this is when they sit down, they have their round table, and they kind of give you the rundown of what each person in the body shop will be doing to pimp this ride, right? So you have, like, the owner, I believe his name is Ryan. And you also have, like, the tire specialist, Alex. You have Ish, who does, like, the interior, the seats and stuff like that. Mad Mike is the electronics guy.
All the guys.
Okay, so the thing is that initially, they're very much not like a big deal, right? You have, I think Q is the owner, and he's the guy who, like, or the manager. He's the guy who, like, comes in, he talks to you, and he just, like, makes you feel good about, like, hey, this car has been giving you the blues, but you love this car, and we're going to make it, you know, make it right for you. And then you have these people that are just there to help. But as the show goes on, they become personalities in their own right, and people like Mad Mike go on to be in the second iteration of the season five and six. And you can tell the difference. Kind of think Rupert and Survivor, right?
Yeah.
You know, like the first time he was on television, it was like, oh, Rupert, we love him. This isn't like an act at all. Then the second time you're like, okay, We saw the pirate thing already. Like, you know, then the third time he's really feeling himself and you're like, okay, we get it. Mad Mike is somewhere in between the, like, okay, we get it, and the, like, oh, this guy is great. He starts to kind of smell his own stuff at some point and becomes like one of the reasons people were watching the show. He honestly could have got a spinoff, and I'd be shocked if he didn't.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What did Mad Mike go on to do post Pimp My Ride?
Probably still car stuff. It seemed like that was his wheelhouse. But again, he was a big personality. People were like often imitate him when talking about, you know, people's, like, pimping people's rides. They're like, oh, you know, Mad Mike would have said XYZ about the electronics, because he was the guy doing the heavy lifting for people in 2004. What we cared about was the cool stuff. Like, sure, you put some new tires on this thing. Okay, it has some rims. Fine. But when you tell me, like, a flat screen TV is going to lower from the ceiling of my car, then you have my attention. And that's where Mad Mike came in.
Yeah, Mad Mike does not have an IMDb credit post 2011. He was on a series called Car Warriors, where he was a judge.
Yeah, again, see, that's why he's a judge. It's not because, like, oh, this guy knows cars. It's because he knows cars and he's a big personality. Yeah,
Chappelle, that it feels like that a big part of Pimp My Ride is we're going to put flat screen TVs in cars. You got a car. How about we put a 32-inch flat screen TV in that car? People seem like that they love that. In 2021, that everybody has a TV in their pocket, does that sort of, like, the idea of a giant TV in your car, is that like a very outdated thing that you would not even want in 2021?
Of course it is. Like, I remember in 2004 where it was like flat screens were like the new thing, and like, I was very poor. So I had the television with the big ass back to it, like with the ass on it. Yeah, like the one that, like, you could sit on the floor, but you also, if you decided to move it, you would have to use both hands and, like, struggle.
Sure.
And, like, if you put it in your car to move it somewhere else, you have to put the back, like, to the front so that it doesn't topple over. Like, it's a whole thing. You got to make sure this big ass TV doesn't, like, topple. The flat screen was the wave. It was the thing that everybody was getting into. And so, yeah, it was like a sign of status that you had a flat screen TV in your home. So now let's put it in a car. Then somewhere in the next, you know, 10 years or so, they started putting these TVs in minivans because, look, your kids can now, you know, watch PJ Masks or, you know, some other absurd show while driving around. They took the fun out of it a little bit. It was so like shiny and new. Yeah. And then it became like a soccer mom thing.
Yeah. Do you think that Pimp My Ride had an impact on the auto industry where that, oh, okay, we got to put these little like 10-inch displays on the back of the chairs in the vans and SUVs? Do you think that Pimp My Ride it was responsible for that?
I don't know if it was responsible, but it probably moved the needle a lot more than we're willing to admit. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, these cars are supposed to be luxurious, right? And these are expensive electronic projects that they're getting into. And people like to spend money on things that make them look expensive. So you have Pimp My Ride has these like fancy things like, oh, I want, you know, these brand new rims or this brand new paint job or these brand new, you know, whatever. And so rich people looked at that and said, I'm rich. I don't need the gaudy colors, but mm-hmm. I could use those televisions. And then it started to slowly trickle down to the poor people and they started to make it accessible for everybody. And then like everything, once the poor people get a hold of it, it's not cool anymore. So they had to scrap it and start over. So then we move on to like MP3 players and XM radio and stuff of that nature being installed in the car already.
Yep. What would be like the latest and greatest? Like if you were going to pimp somebody's ride in 2021, what would their vehicle have?
What would their vehicle have? And see, that's what I'm saying. Like now, I think simpler
is it like
better,
a Tesla
right?
That you don't have to drive it?
You know that. Yeah, that's next. That's next. Because even I just came from Vegas and I did my survey at the airport because I needed to use the Wi-Fi to have a podcast meeting. Mm-hmm. And when I went to do it, the survey said, like, how did you get here? And I was like, taxi. And they're like, did it drive? Like, would you be open to a self-driving vehicle? I was like, Vegas, what are y'all talking about? You know, like, mm-hmm. is that an option? Like, could I have taken the Tesla from the Vegas Strip to, like, it's only like a couple miles. Like, I honestly, if it's available, I'd get into the self-driving car. So, yeah, maybe that's the next, like, thing is, like, the car drives itself. Or, matter of fact, if the car could go do the errands for you, that's what we should talk about, Rob. In a world where we stopped going inside businesses and people started bringing our stuff to the, like, to the car, what if your car could go to the grocery store, pull up, pop the trunk, and then they could just put your groceries in the trunk and the car will drive it back to you. You mm-hmm. don't even have to leave your home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's 2021 in a nutshell. Well, 2020 for sure.
Is that better than if the grocery store just had like a car that could drive to your house and you just go downstairs and take it out? You still got to take it out of your car anyway.
Yeah, but I think we were trying to, in my mind, I'm trying to tie this back to our RHAP rewind days. This could be our kit. Right? Mm-hmm. our Hoffmobile, you know, we send a kit to the store, pick things up. I think that's better because that way you have multiple cars going and getting the things and you can just bring it out to the car as opposed to like one or two cars taking forever to make your deliveries.
Okay. I like that idea. Yeah,
I do too. I think if you're pimping somebody's ride these days, take the TVs out. Matter of fact, take everything out. Take the seats out. And just use it as a container to transport your things from.
We've pimped your ride. It's now a driverless empty box that will just go run errands and pick up stuff for you.
Rob, as someone who does not like to leave the house, does this sound appealing to you?
It's fine. I mean, I'm not a car guy.
Exactly. It's like you don't like to do stuff. This car will do it for you. Mm-hmm. It will. The question is, how much do you trust a car like this? Like, how do you know when you let your car leave the driveway that it's coming back?
What do you think? That there's going to be people are going to like pirates are going to like take it?
I wasn't thinking that, but now I'm interested. Like this is a television show, you know, like
you're going to hijack your car. Yeah.
People are hijacking the car. Or I was thinking more along the lines of the car breaks down or maybe there's like a programming issue to where the car just like crashes into a wall and you never get your stuff.
It'll text you.
Yeah, I mean, but what if it's, what's it going to text you? Yeah, like, no,
you'll get a call and you'll be like, hello, and like, hey, Chappelle, don't be mad, okay?
What did you do?
I crashed into a wall, okay?
Oh my God. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Like, I crashed into a wall. It's not that bad. I swear it's not that bad. Like, okay, just send me a picture of the damage and then your car is totaled, you know? Like, and then at that point, someone like me is thinking, well, how do I get my food? Like, the car is totaled. That's done.
Can you come pick me up?
No, car, you're stuck there. You walk home. I told you to go straight to the store and come right back. And that is not the direction I sent you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's, you have to send your other car to go pick it up.
Yeah, and reprimand him on the way home. Yeah. That's why you need two. Rob, I think we're onto something. Yeah.
Okay. So they do the brainstorming. They do the whole operation. They have to shave out the wheel well. You know, does the person who's like Wyatt, does he have any input on what they do?
No. And here's why. because obviously he does not know how to make good life choices anyway.
Yeah.
He has put himself in this position. He is willingly driving around in this car. This car is ruining his life. He can't get a job because of this car. Wyatt, I'm sorry, but we don't care about your opinion about the car because you've proven that you're not a functional adult. Let Exhibit do what he's going to do. Yeah. He'll give you your car back. If they have to unpimp it a little bit so you can drive it, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But what we're not going to do is ask Wyatt his opinion because obviously he's lost his damn mind.
It's a little bit sitting in the barber chair and then just close your eyes and then see what happens.
If you come in with a bad haircut already, you sometimes just have to let go and let God, you know, just give, let Jesus take the wheel. And in Wyatt's case, literally let somebody else take over this car because, yeah, he's driving around. I think he said there were go-kart wheels on this automobile that he drove on the street. And yeah. So he could only go, rims. So he could only go 45 miles per hour. And then he traded it out for like some bigger rims. And now he can go 65 mm-hmm. miles per hour. He's screwing up his tires every time he does this, and he has no issue with it. So, yes, Exhibit, by all means, pimp his ride, and don't ask his opinion about it because he does not know anything about anything.
Okay. Chappelle, could you describe what the crew over at West Coast Custom did to the hijack?
I think they undid a lot of the damage that Wyatt had done on his own, mm-hmm. right? So, like, for instance, he had installed an air horn into his car just because. And so they took that away. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, he does not know what he's doing. He also had, like, an industrial-sized bag of Ruffles. And so they threw away that kind of stuff. Like, they got rid of all the storage thing. But because he likes snacks, they installed a lunch kit into mm-hmm. his car. As opposed to just handing him a lunchbox, they put it in the side panel of the door, I believe. Am I correct about that, right? It was like...
Yeah, and they also have a fridge also.
Yeah, they wanted him to be able to eat because obviously he likes to eat. So we talked about this before on one of the other shows. It's like you get one thing and, oh, it's like Blind Date, right? Like you have your one gimmick and then they just run it into the ground. If you say, hey... my grandma smokes cigarettes. They're like, cool, we made your backseat an entire ashtray. You know, so for Wyatt, he says, I want to start my band. And so they're like, cool, how can we incorporate the band into this man's life? And so I believe they end up handing him like a guitar and an amplifier. And they finally give him a speaker system because he has no radio. I think they give him like an MP3 player as well. And then
they have two MP3 players.
Well, they install an MP3 player because, you know,
yeah.
2004. But then they also give him an MP3 player. And Exhibit correctly points out that, you know, now that you have two MP3 players, you can steal a lot of music.
Mm-hmm.
2004 yeah. was a great time for pirating, for sure.
Yeah, those pirates that'll, not the yeah. ones that'll steal your car. And
no, the LimeWire pirates.
Yeah. Yeah. And Kazam.
Yeah, or what was it? Kazaa.
Yeah, Kazaa.
Napster.
Yeah, you Napster was Napster the first drama? One. Yeah. Yeah,
Napster was the one who got caught up and then paved the way for all the other people, the bear shares of the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dark times. Dark yeah. times.
They have like a big like couch in the back that I get the sense that Wyatt might move into the high jet as opposed to live with his parents.
I mean, they're giving him the option. They give him a front-facing camera. Now,
I didn't really understand what they were doing with the camera.
I guess they felt like he's going to be spending a lot of time in the car. But they said, so the people in the back seat can see what's going on in the front seat, which, you know, typical.
Yeah.
You just look out the window.
Like, did Wyatt have like a driver? Well, I didn't really understand what the purpose of this communication system was. It's not that big of a car.
No, they said they put $20,000 into a $400 car.
Yeah.
Now, here's another place where the shenanigans are like popping up, because a lot of cars aren't able to deal with the amount of stress and like work that you're putting into them when you put like heavy equipment into these cars. Like the chassis can't hold them. The suspension is not going to be right. And this particular like auto shop, like I said, initially, I think they were kind of on the up and up where they would tell you they were going to do these things. And like, there are things that you have to fix on your own, but there was situations where fixing and adding all this extra stuff was making the car worse. Like, it cannot drive if it's too heavy or if the suspension is off, like the tires aren't going to, like, it's not going to roll. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of that going on. And so when you say out loud that you put $20,000 into a $400 car, sure, it sounds cool. But if you actually think about it, like, maybe just get a more expensive car.
Yeah. 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 That would have been a more impressive finished product to spend $20,000 and just buy a new car.
I mean, as opposed to having an airplane seatbelt light in the back seat. Did you see that part?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's a high, yeah. Get it? It's a high jet.
Exactly. Not a high jet. A high jet. It's a plane. They put a fin on it. It's got a wing.
Like a spoiler.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, got flames on it, chrome rims, a lunchbox, refrigerator, 17-inch rims on this van. I just don't understand why, but they did it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got rid of the duct tape, though. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. That was good. They didn't even have, like, a real door on there. He just had, like, put out, like, a piece of sheet metal where a door, like, should be on that car originally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like one of those, like, you know, those vans that they tell you to watch out for.
Yeah.
You know, the ones without the windows.
Yes. Chappelle, did anybody ever see, like, a Pimp My Ride car, like, in circulation?
I don't know if anybody's ever seen a Pimp My Ride car in circulation, but in my research, I did find people who have found these cars, like, at like junkyards years later, and have gone in and looked at all the things that, you know, Pimp My Ride did to the car. I found a YouTube clip of a guy who found, like, a minivan. Kind of reminds you of this one a little bit. But they went in and they were like, oh my God, all this outdated stuff. Like, there's, like, lava lamps in there because the person probably said they were a hippie or something. Mm-hmm. And so they go in and they unpimp it to make it an actual driving car. And so I watched a couple of videos.
See,
like that
should be a show.
I would enjoy the ride. I think a lot of these rides have probably been gutted. A lot of the people have, I'm sure people were, like, snatching the swimming pools out of the back of these cars left and right, and using them in more practical ways. But if you can find a Pimp My Ride car, please, by all means, send this to me. Rob, I said this, I think, to you off air, but John sent me this idea, and I'm so happy that he did, because in my research, I found out so much about the show that I had no clue was going on.
Yeah. All right. Good idea, yeah. John.
Yeah, of course.
He pimped the rewind.
He did. Now I have to pop my collar because that's what you do when you get your ride pimp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what exhibit says.
Anything else about Wyatt and the Hijit from the premiere of Pimp My Ride?
Of course. You didn't notice that they put a DVD changer in the car?
Sure.
You know, that's something that's probably very useful in 2021.
Yeah. Yeah, people have to watch a lot of DVDs is like my big takeaway from Pimp My Ride. And then people need to be watching multiple DVDs. They have so many DVDs. I need so many different screens for my DVDs.
Yeah. Do you have a DVD player?
I do have one, but really it's just like for the kids' movies. We almost never use it.
Exactly. I used to teach children. And I took them to a field trip, and the guy, like, you know, those days in the old days of school where they would have like the television with the the VCR on it, and like they wheel it out and you can like watch it. So at one of the field trips, they did exactly that. They wheeled out their television with the VCR on it. And you know me, I'm a clown. So I grab like $20 out of my pocket and I hold it up in the air and I said, hey, I will give whoever can tell me what this box is called $20. Mm-hmm. And those kids were stunned. They were just like, I want the money, but I have no clue what this item is. And it was a VCR. Mm-hmm. So imagine how kids today would feel about a DVD player. Like, you'd have to explain to them the concept of DVDs almost as if they're like an A-track player or like some type of like odd record player.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that the only reason we use it is to put things on for kids. But like my kids are 5 and 7 and they really don't understand. Like they haven't like lived in a world where they can't just watch any single movie or video. That's like they don't really understand that. Like, wait, when you didn't just have access to every single piece of media that ever was existed. You couldn't just put on any movie you ever wanted to.
The ghetto of the golden days, you know, like we think back with nostalgia at these times, but I mean, truly the dark ages, honestly, my 3-year-old cousin can navigate YouTube. I've seen him do it. I mean, and we'll skip, skip the ads and everything. Can't read a word of what these people are like, what the shows are called, but he can tell you which one he watched and which one he doesn't want to watch and which one he wants to watch again.
Yeah.
But if I left him in the home with a stack of DVDs and a DVD player and said, go to work, he would just be staring and looking at me. He'd be shocked. He wouldn't know what to do, where to start, how to turn it on. It's just ridiculous how far we've come in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm. I had that. This was a very exciting thing. I went to like a conference for work, like in 2001, I guess it was. And I won in a raffle, like a portable DVD player. I was so excited. It was like, it was like a little thing that was like a panini making machine of that, like popped open on the top and had a screen. I was like, wow, yeah. I am so lucky that I have won this portable DVD player.
Yeah. Where is it now?
I mean, I don't even think it made the move to California with me.
Right. It's like, what do I need this for? What movie were you watching on your portable DVD player? Was it like Back to the Future?
I don't even know if Back to the Future was on DVD at that point.
Jeez. Yeah. I know exactly what I was watching with my portable DVD player.
What movie?
Movies. I very much was a Can't Hardly Wait fan.
Can't Hardly Wait.
So,
yeah.
So here's the thing. I used to go to the pawn shop. Number one. No, I used to go to the pawn shop. It was very poor. But the pawn shop always had the discarded DVDs, you know, and they were like 25 cents to a dollar or sometimes $5, but whatever. Chappelle Likes Media. And I, like, unlike these kids, didn't have it at the, you know, at my fingertips like that. So I had to go search it out. And so I would go to the pawn shop, multiple pawn shops in the middle of Houston. I would just kind of like wander around and I would find things that I wanted to watch. And then I would just watch them and watch them and watch them until the DVD stopped working. And one of those movies was Can't Hardly Wait. I used to watch Not Another Teen Movie. Mm-hmm. I had The Real World Paris and The Real World Las Vegas.
I saw you posted about Not Another Teen Movie recently. Yeah, I saw that in the movie theater.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would have taken me to the movie to watch it, but I definitely had it on DVD and pretty much know it by heart. But yeah, I would do like The Real World Paris and Las Vegas. I had the like behind the scenes of that on DVD. I had Drumline. It was like 9 movies, honestly. And it was just like in rotation, like how the kids do with YouTube. Just, you know, like I'm just going to keep watching this until I get tired of it. So yeah, I wore my portable DVD player out. If you could have told me that I would have had a DVD in my car at 2004, I would have like lost it. Like, oh my God, like this is exactly what I need. I can watch all my shows while I drive, I guess. And now if you told me I needed one for my car, I'd tell you, no, I'm good. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Got my phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything you want to watch, you can just glance down at your phone. I don't recommend it, but you can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about one more episode of Pimp My Ride. We're going to jump ahead to season 5, episode 15, to talk about Josh's 1987 Blazer right after this. All right, Chappelle, we have another episode that this is an episode that stuck out to you, correct?
Yeah. So I was going through my rewatches. Rob, what you might have noticed by now is that when you say, hey, let's do a rewind, I'm like, oh, OK, I'll watch one episode. But then secretly, I'll watch like a season because this is my this is nostalgia for me. I don't have any issue reliving some of these old shows, even the ones that don't age particularly well. But watching this episode, I realized I know this episode. This is a very like important episode to Chappelle. I remember it vividly.
Can we listen to the theme song again to start another episode?
Look, if you want to be a player, play it.
Okay, here we go.
So you want to be a player, but your wheels ain't fly. You got to hit us up to get a pimped out ride. Damn right.
Bad job by Chester not getting the Pimp My Ride theme song into the 64, the bracket of, I guess it was 36. 32.
You damn right. You are damn right.
Yeah.
You damn right. Chester, what are you doing? This was right there. It's short, it's sweet, it has lyrics, but it also, it would be a fire instrumental. This is the one that we left out, you know, Rob got his style, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Chappelle, what stood out to you about this season 5 episode of Pimp My Ride?
Okay. So season 5, like I said, this is where, I won't say it jumped the shark, but this is where the show knew what it was and was doing the things like to its fullest extent. Everything that they like that made the show popular, they were leaning into it so much. So one of the things was that when it first started off, it was like, hey, I'm a young lad and I need a, like my car is trash and I need a better car. So it's like, oh, okay. But then they started to notice that people like really enjoyed the feel good stories of this person needs a better car. You know, we talked about Wyatt, like, oh, my car is ruining my life. I can't get a job. Yeah, that's light work. But eventually it gets to like, no, no, no. This person sacrifices his whole world for everybody. And all he does is give and give and give. And his friends and family are just saying, please, please, Pimp His Ride. Like, he needs this, you know? And so that's where we are in Pimp My Ride history. We are in like the this is like a charitable thing that everybody should like say, oh, mm-hmm. and deep sigh for. And so I remember it because one, this guy, it doesn't seem very charitable at all. It seems like his family has all got together and said, you know what? We wish he had a better car, but that's it. Like, he bought this trash car from his girlfriend's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. He bought a trash car from his girlfriend's dad. And now he lives with his girlfriend, his mom.
Yeah.
And what was it, three dogs as well?
I think so. I thought Exhibit had a wild line about that. The guy, Josh, got this car, this 1987 Blazer, from the dad and his girlfriend's dad. And Exhibit said, oh, sounds like dad pawned two problems off on you.
Right. Exhibit's good. He's quick. Yeah.
Wow. Exhibit.
There was another moment where he says like, oh, yeah, I have three women and three dogs in my house. And Exhibit says something like, oh, yeah, that's a lot of estrogen. I'm like, he didn't say they were female dogs. Jeez. Like, why are you being disrespectful? No, Exhibit's good. That's why he was good for the show. I think Exhibit has a good heart for this kind of thing. I really admire him as far as like the way he handled a lot of this stuff, because he got a lot of the feedback when it was negative. When people started to complain about the show and stuff like that, they were like, Exhibit did this because he was a face of the franchise.
Yeah.
But I don't think he was involved in any of that. He says himself, I don't touch a hammer or anything. Like, you will never see me work on anything.
He's so not even in the second half of the show.
Ever. Like, he'll pop up and just like laugh while they do something like, oh, what are you doing here? Oh, we're putting a laser beam at the bottom of the car. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh yeah, that's tight. And then he'll leave.
Mm-hmm.
But people were like, Exhibit, how dare you? So yeah, I like Exhibit because he's quick and he does a good job with the people. But ultimately, the shortcomings of the show are not on his, they're not assigned to him. Like, I don't think Exhibit should be blamed for any of the bad things that come from Pimp My Ride.
Yeah. Exhibit gets a tour of the 1987 Blazer. Josh is showing him that, well, for when there's a woman in the car with him, he has a roll of paper towels, which Exhibit says, like, wow, what a guy.
He lives with three women. And so he has a roll of toilet tissue in case they need it. The problem is, I think it's
that was
it's
toilet
dirty.
Paper. I think it's like paper towels for them.
I honestly, I hope it was toilet paper. Now that you say paper towel,
I think
I'm
it was
really
a paper towel roll.
Oh, dear God. You know, what a guy. What a mm-hmm. guy. Like Exhibit said, the thing is that whatever the paper product is, it's dirty.
Yeah.
Like, at least if you're going to have that in there for her convenience, maybe, you know, keep it in a situation where it won't get like filthy.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what she's supposed to be using this for now, but I don't want to touch it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, could you imagine? And also, who are you letting in this car? Like, he has to be talking about the women that he lived with, because no man in their right mind is going to show anybody this 1987 Chevy K5 Blazer and think that she's going to like want to actually ride in the car.
Yeah. Well, the girlfriend is used to it because it was the dad's car. So maybe she just does not even realize just what a hideous car this is, that, you know, that the doors open when you're driving. There's also like where the keyhole is supposed to be. There's just the hole. You have to stick your finger in there. Get a tetanus shot before you try that one also.
Oh, not before, but definitely after.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, once you open the car, you probably want to get checked out, like just a full work. Honestly, if I sat in this car, it would take everything in my power not to rip my skin off and just burn it, because this is disgusting. So, yeah, if you're having to stick your finger in a keyhole to open the car, maybe, you know, get the full the full workup. You know, I want everything. MRI, EKG, all that stuff.
I thought that Josh had a good plan of having the car. Like, I keep it dirty so you can't see all of the scratches.
Yeah. I guess, right? Like, yeah. It's like the reverse of, like, why don't you, this is why you don't buy a white car, right? Because dirt shows up on it. So you just buy a darker colored car. So then, mm-hmm. you know, if it's dirty, people won't really notice. That's a myth. I can always see when somebody's dirty ass car is driving down the road. But it still doesn't look as bad when it's a white car. I mean, as if it was a white car. And so I think he has a point. If you keep it dirty, you don't see that people have basically just like destroyed the car on the outside.
What's the easiest car color to keep clean?
I don't know. Like, I'm not meticulous about keeping my car clean, but I have like one of those memberships where you can just go to the car wash a bunch of times in 1 month. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't bother me at all. But you definitely don't want something white because, you know, just like having a white shirt on, if you get a stain on it, everyone's going to see it. It's going to be like yelling at you. It used to be like an old Clorox commercial where like you get a stain and people can't even hear you talking because they just see the stain going trying to get your attention. That's your white car driving around with the big like scratches and stuff on it. Maybe it's a black car, like a dark gray car, something mm-hmm. ashy like myself. You know, keep it you know, kind of ambiguous to how dirty it is.
Okay. This I thought was wild, where in the season 1, episode 1, we go to the West Coast custom and everybody sits around. No bad ideas in brainstorming. Like, what if we tried this? What do you think about this? Do you think we could potentially do this? Now we get to the meeting with the guys from the new auto body shop. Now we're with Galpin Autosports, and we're in like the briefing room and everybody is just like stepping up and like, I'm going to do blah, 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 blah. And everybody's like, whoa, okay, hold on. Should we talk about this? It was just like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. When we get to season 5, we've changed shops, but we know what the show is and we're going to go full on like Pimp My Ride. So even each of the people, Mad Mike even, you know, they're over the top. And the way they present it is over the top too. I told you, the first season, they took care of the people. Let's sit down, you know, like, oh, let's get him an amplifier for his guitar. He really likes that. He's trying to get a job. We'll put a resume inside, you know, that kind of thing. Now they're like, okay, this time for my next trick, I'm going to like saw in half 2 Ford Escorts and then put them together and then like rip out the inside and put a swimming pool down in the basketball court. Like, they do all of that stuff for show. And you can feel it. You can feel the tone change. It's like they're flexing, you know, like, how much of a circus can we make this? And now watch me work. That's really how it comes off.
Yeah. It's almost like in the season 1, episode 1, it's like they're planning a birthday party for Wyatt of like, well, what does Wyatt like? Oh, what if we did this for him? Like, okay, what if that was? And then the season 5 episode is like, this is just like a potluck dinner where people are just like, all right, I'm going to be bringing my deep fried Twinkies that I've seen this on Pinterest. I'm making it.
Oh, I hate a potluck, but mm-hmm. that makes so
everybody's just much doing sense. What they feel like doing to this car now.
Yeah. There's an episode of Pimp My Ride where they put a fruit juicer in the car, but they don't just put a juicer. They put like, they have like containers for like apples and lemons and carrots and all kinds of stuff. And then you have the food processor back there. There's an episode where they put a baby grand piano in the car. Baby. I don't know if there's an episode where they deliver a baby in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I have to look into it. They do what is the thing? Oh my gosh. Like a popcorn maker in the car, slot machines on the side of the car. Like, this is when they're really just like out here performing. It has nothing to do with the person and what they want or what they would like. It's all about the television show at this point.
Too busy thinking if they could, not busy enough thinking if they should.
Yeah. And I mean, for them, what do they lose? I mean, it takes a lot of effort, but at the end of the day, they still get to promote the show, right? Like, so the more outrageous you do it, the more people will find out about it. That's why Pimp My Ride was such a big deal, because people saying, oh, you got a nice car. That's one thing. But someone saying like, hey, have you heard about the guy with the waterbed in the backseat?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're like, whoa, hold on. And so that's what they're doing. They're trying to get the people talking. Look, there's some, one of the episodes has a coffin.
Coffin?
In the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. and they utilize it as a grill. Like they turn it into like a barbecue pit.
Wait, it had a coffin before when it was pre-pimped, or they said, hey, you know, you're into dead stuff. So we took a coffin and you're also into grilling. And so we turned it into a barbecue.
No. So it's kind of middle ground somewhere. So the thing is, the car was a hearse.
Yeah.
The guy had like, you know, been driving it as if it was not a hearse. Well, when they saw it, they said hearse. And they said, oh, okay, well, you know what we got to do here. And then they made it an actual hearse. But they still wanted it to be drivable. So they put a coffin in it, you know, to kind of buy into the hearse style of it. And then made that hearse a barbecue pit. So when you pull it out, there's like place for you to put your spatula and your tools and stuff like that. And then you can grill out of the back of your car. Ladies and gentlemen, Pimp My Ride.
So many problems with just the grilling out of the back of the car.
Yeah, so many problems. And you know that people were buying into this like, yeah, that's exactly what I want. Is it? Mm-hmm. Is that really what you want?
Tailgate? Me? Sure.
Yeah, in theory, it sounds great, right? Until you pull up at the tailgate in the like neon purple hearse and then drag the coffin out of your car to like grill. Yeah. Then you gotta put that bad boy back in your car smelling like soot and all kinds of stuff. Like this is not practical. This is not good, but people were signing up for it. That's the world Pimp My Ride had introduced us to.
You drive that purple hearse up to Raven's tailgate, Chappelle. You're gonna be a popular guy.
Oh, yeah. But that's the only place it's appropriate. I wouldn't be shocked if it is sitting outside of M&T Stadium right now.
All right. So
Rob.
Yes.
I remember one of the cars had a flamethrower.
Flamethrower?
Yeah. Like, you know how like, kind of like. Just because,
was this guy driving into the Thunderdome?
No, I think it was like a Mustang or something like that. They wanted it to look like, you know, like, oh, it's driving really fast. So we put the flamethrowers at the back of it type stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure they took the flamethrower off the car before he drove off the lot.
I hope so. All right. What did they do for Josh?
I mean, they did the typical things. They painted the car. They, you know, gave him some nice chrome rims. But then they started to get, you know, they went full Pimp My Ride at some point. And that's when the memorable part comes for me. They ended up putting television screens in the mud flaps of the car. As a child, I did not know the point of this. I still don't know what's the functionality of having a tiny television down at the bottom of the car by the wheel. Like, why would you put that there? A rock could take it out. Like, what's happening? Did you see this?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Chappelle, you never have been standing behind a car and then you want to watch TV at the same time?
I mean, only certain shows, but geez, those are few and far between.
Yeah. What if you're in traffic behind the person and then, you know, you're at the red light, you want to like see what they're watching.
But why are you putting it down there? Like, put it in the bumper or something, or like on the hood of the car so I can see it. Like, why are you putting it in the mud flaps?
They have, at this point, they're just like, oh, well, that everything should be. I mean, they should just like have a flat screen TV and build a car out of that. They made a snowboard for him with a flat screen in the snowboard.
Exactly. See, this is what I'm talking
what
about.
What do you plug into the flat screen?
What I mean, what do you need to plug into the, like, I mean, like, what do you do? Do you get off the snowboard and then put it on the charger? Like, how does this work? What's the logistics behind? Yeah. Like, are you actually snowboarding and watching television at the same time?
Or it's a good way to be watching your last show ever, I think.
Ooh, this is a good question. What would, if you had to go out on a snowboard, you know, this could be your last show ever. Yeah. You're snowboarding away. What are you watching, Rob?
Boy, probably something terrible so I can be like, oh, at least this is over. Like, I don't think it's sort of like a last meal situation.
So like a High School Musical too?
Well, I hear that too is even better.
I heard that too. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a great movie to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great one. I've seen some clips. Snowboard me, please. Mm-hmm. Yes. But yeah, Rob, they also did the most absurd thing that I'd seen, not to this day, because there's some crazy stuff, but they put a snowblower.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am from Central Texas. I have no clue. I don't know the first thing about snow. I've seen it a couple times. Every time, it's been horrible. Never liked it. it could never exist again and I'd be fine. Why? What do you mean? You just blow snow out of the top of the car? What does that do?
Get it? Like, he's a snowboarder. Now his car blows snow.
Is he supposed to board on said snow?
It's so bizarre of like, if he's going someplace to snowboard, there should already be snow. This thing will not produce enough snow that like, it's not like that it's going to put down like, 4 inches of powder where he goes, where he's able to be snowboarding around. And then to drill a hole in the top of the car to make the snow pump.
Right. Like, they ice blower? Like, what do you even call this
thing? It's not a snow blower, because that's what you'd use to, like, the snow, fake snow machine.
Right. So this is like, yeah, like a snow maker, you know, ice blower. Yeah, they put it on the roof of the car and it makes it like shoot snow so that he can say that I shot snow out of the top of my car. Like, there's no other real functionality for this at all, except it probably looks kind of weird or cool.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So for his particular car, a lot of the stuff they did was just for performance. Yeah. I mean, like, he doesn't need mud flaps, diamond plated mud flaps. I'm sorry. Might I add, with 7-inch monitors in it. He didn't need an ice blower out of the roof of the car so that he could snowboard whenever he wanted. Like, these things are just talking points. None of them actually will make him drive the car better. And I would be shocked if they didn't have to unpip a lot of those things as well.
Yeah, I would think so. Also, the guy doing the snow machine had like a wild look of just like the craziest, spikiest hair I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think that was Diggity Dave.
I think that's Diggity Dave?
I think that's Diggity Dave. Yeah, Diggity Dave is the guy with the spiky hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the thing is, Pimp My Ride will roast you. Like, the show will roast you. They will talk about how dirty you are, that you can't get a girl, you know. So you want to be a player, but your rims ain't, you know, whatever. I think that, like, these people have no right to roast people.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't, like... These kids, first of all, these are children, like 17 to age 21, 22. These are kids, you know, they're just here to get some help. And y'all are taking advantage of them and exploiting them and walking around with crazy haircuts. I don't love it, but they don't, like, the people who went on the show, they haven't reported complete disdain at the process. And some of them said that they would do it again, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of, like I said, a lot of Pimp My Ride shenanigans, like, a lot of AMAs, like, there's a lot of Reddit AMAs where people are like, let me pull back the curtain and tell you exactly what happened to the car. You know, like, whether it was, this isn't even my car, or like, they took my car and they couldn't soup it up well enough, so they replaced it with a car that could actually handle all the upgrades that they wanted to make on it. There's a guy where they basically were just calling him fat the entire episode. Like, it's pretty off-putting, but like, he, like, it's a heavyset guy, and they decide, like, oh, we're going to put a cotton candy machine in his trunk.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, cotton candy machines have lids, but with a lid, the trunk wouldn't close. So he can't use the cotton candy machine because cotton candy would get everywhere. Like, he actively cannot use this thing that you put in his car. So they end up taking it back out, I think. They're just looking for a reason to call him fat, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the kind of thing Pimp My Ride was doing. So, like I said, it started off probably with like a good heart and a good spirit, but by the end, it was just kind of filling itself, you know?
Yeah. Gotta keep chasing that higher high of, like, can we put this in a car? Can we put this in a car?
I wonder what they did that like broke the wheel, right? Like, what was the one thing that they were like, okay, there's no coming back from this. You know, we're done here. Like, what else could we do to this person? Like, you've done way too much. To
I don't know. Where,
yeah, where the, to the point where we cancel the show. It's over. You know?
I don't know. It's not in the Wikipedia if it's out there. Let people know. Deep fryer?
Yeah. Do you want to hear about the top, like, 15, like, craziest things that they've done?
Sure.
We talked about a couple of them, actually. We talked about the cotton candy maker, which, again, wasn't so crazy, except you can't put the lid on it, which makes it absurd. We talked about the coffin. We talked about the waterbed, because I was not joking. I think there's a guy who had a snow cone maker. So not similar to the ice blower, but like legit, like a setup where he could like have like syrup and stuff like that in the back. We had the slot machines on the side of the car. We had the popcorn maker. We had the deep fryer. There was like a like what is it? You know, you remember in the old days, I don't know if people still do this, when you drive up to the bank, they have the, the little like container
vacuum
you put in
tube.
That little chute. They gave this man one of those in his car.
That goes to where?
I believe it goes to the back seat.
The back seat.
Yeah. It was just like a message and he would just put it in there and it.
What's wrong with throwing it over to the back seat?
I don't remember the layout of his car. Maybe there was like a partition or maybe it was to deliver things to the like bed of the truck. Mm-hmm. But he definitely had one of those things that you kind of wish you could put anything in and watch it shoot away. I just don't know why, you know, like what is the reason? And then when you drive away in this car, are you truly happy? Because this was another situation where the producers would tell you, hey, you didn't give us enough feeling. It wasn't believable
enough.
Do it again. We expect you do it again. There are people who have said that they had to do it like for 10 minutes straight, had to keep replaying their reaction because they weren't as overwhelmed or enthusiastic as the producer would have liked.
Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah.
Chappelle, thing I noticed in the season 5 episode was now the people that are pimping the ride are like doing sketches.
I told you, they become the show. It's not even about the person getting the car anymore. It's more about like, hey, what wacky thing can Mad Mike and, you know, Diggity Dave do? Like, even the names of these people, right? Like, Diggity Dave, you know, like, come on, you guys. This isn't about y'all. But I think they probably did like a focus group and they said, hey, we really like the personalities on this guy. Give them more screen time. And that's what they end up doing.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anything else on Pimp My Ride, Chappelle?
I mean, just more shenanigans. I read an AMA that said it was about Justin. He had a RAV4. And I believe, was Justin the heavyset guy? I think he might have been. But Justin did his AMA. And some of the things he said was, although the show is 30 minutes long, and it makes it seem like they get this work done relatively quickly, it took him 5 months to get his car.
5 months?
5 months. And I mean, it sounds absurd because we just watched them do it in 20 minutes. But if you really think about the amount of work they put into this, yeah, they didn't do this in a week. Like, it has to take some amount of time to physically fix the car because these cars are actually broken and then to customize them. You know, like the door doesn't open. So now we have to work on the door opening, but then paint the door and make the door look nice and then make the door like Lamborghini doors where they open up. You know, like that's the kind of stuff that was going on that they didn't show you. They also did not put them in rental cars a lot of times. Like sometimes like the like insurance. Yeah, the insurance would cover it for like a couple weeks or a couple months. And then 7 months later, they're still carless waiting on this car to come. And imagine how underwhelmed you'd be when you're like, I just want my car back. And you get, you know, like the jacuzzi tub in the back.
Okay. Yeah.
And that was only one of the things people reported. I think some of the stuff was so cosmetic that it actually didn't fix the parts of the car that needed to be fixed. So think back to Wyatt. Wyatt's driving a toaster, you know, like, you know, somehow he's got this thing to roll. But we have to know that this thing, if the outside and the interior is so raggedy, we got to know that the things making this thing go is probably just as raggedy. You put all this effort into paint and rims and chrome and all this other stuff, televisions. When did you touch the engine? Like at some point you got to make sure that this thing can still operate.
Yeah.
You had 7 months and you gave me something that drives the same way, if not worse. Now that you've packed on all of this work to it, like you've added thousands of pounds, I'd imagine, of televisions and stuff like that. Cause that's before televisions were a lot sleeker.
Yeah.
And you know, you've added all this weight to this car. I think he ended up having to put $20,000 of work into his car after they redid it. Yeah. So $20,000, he could have just got a new car. And it just, that was it.
Chappelle, do you think that there is any sort of interest in a Pimp My Ride reboot?
Dear God, I hope not. Like, from what we're understanding here, that none of this stuff turned out for the better as far, like, the people seem to have pleasant experiences overall. Eventually, they got a flashy car that they could drive around, and they were on TV. Remember, 2004 was a time where people were, like, grasping for fame.
Clamoring.
This was, it's what everybody wanted. Now, it's like, okay,
leave me alone.
Television. Yeah. You got a television in the bottom of your mud flaps. Like, personally, I don't want to leave the house. It's a pandemic. So congratulations. You know, like, I hope you have fun snowboarding on, your this ice machine. You know, like, I don't think there's any base for a reboot. You know,
what about we get into Pimp a lot of my Zoom room.
Oh, like a background? You know, I don't have a background on my Zoom.
Right? Yeah. What if that exhibit comes in and is like, "Put this is the room you're zooming from, Chappelle? What is this?"
Yeah, even today when I'm taking over the RHAP Instagram, that you will never see the room I'm zooming out of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get to see my office, other places, but I'll show you my actual Zoom room. It's raggedy. Mm-hmm. It's a hoopty.
Yeah. What color is this wall? Beige? Are you kidding me?
Right. It needs to be lime green with purple polka dots and a lightning strike or like right across it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I think, or like I might slip up and mention that I like Harry Potter and then he can come and paint the whole back, you know, wall slithering green.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Turn your microphone into like a wand.
I would be so pissed. Mm-hmm. I'd be so mad. And so, yeah, I don't think there's any room for this. Trading spouses and trading places did all this, like pimp my people, you know, pimp my house, pimp my wife, you know, whatever.
Well,
they
really,
could do.
Even a Queer Eye is the same idea.
Yeah, pimp me. You know, it's one of those things where you like, they come in and they say, hey, you look kind of raggedy. Let me spice it up a little bit. So it's not a like foreign concept by any means, but I definitely don't think we need to go back down as well at all. It's it was a fun show while it lasted, but it doesn't seem very practical. It's not as like entertaining as Cribs would be because you get to live in the life of these celebrities for a day. This is just sad people kind of getting taken advantage of just a tad.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Well, that's Pimp My Ride. Chappelle, next week. We are going to have another great guest back with us. We're going to get to talk to Sasha Joseph, and we're going to watch Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, Season 1, Episode 4. Now, I do not know the order of the Love and Hip Hops. Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. Is that the first one?
No, I don't think it is. So I am familiar with Love and Hip Hop, as I'm familiar with most of these shows. But I think Love and Hip Hop Atlanta was the second iteration of the show. I believe it started in New York.
What do you like more, Love or Hip Hop? Or Atlanta?
Ooh, these are this is a
like
tough
a ding,
one.
Marry, kill.
Okay, well, you gotta ding Love for sure.
You marry Love.
Yeah, no. No. That's a common misconception. You kill Atlanta. No offense to all the Atlanteans, but you know, I'm from Texas. I'm good here. And then
marry hip hop. You
marry hip hop. You know, I've been in love with hip hop for a long time. Yeah. So I'll take that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the franchises go New York first, then Atlanta, and then like whatever other iterations come after that. Hollywood and Miami, I believe.
Okay. Chappelle, we're going to do that next week on the RHAP Rewind. I believe we're going to watch that on the RHAP Patron Discord also live. I'll watch that on Thursday afternoon. If you're a patron of Robin's podcast, definitely check out what we have going on over on Discord. We are watching a bunch of these shows for the RHAP Rewind and much more over on Discord. Chappelle, you're taking over the RHAP Instagram.
I am.
Recovering from your trip this week. What else you have going on?
Well, one, I'm very excited to watch Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. I haven't talked to Sasha in so long. I think last time we talked, it was a Survivor recap. And so I am definitely looking forward to this. I think the appeal to anybody who is considering watching on the Discord is that at that time you get to ask me ridiculous questions in the real time and listen to Rob's commentary as you watch it. And I'm telling you, it's worth it. So if you've seen some absurd things on this episode of Pimp My Ride, just imagine how great it would have been to be able to comment on that in the real time. So that's the kind of concept we're going for the Love and Hip Hop watch when we do it in the Discord moving forward. You will hear me laugh a lot. Because a lot of this stuff is absurd and Rob has a good time with it too. So I'm looking forward to that for sure. Of course, I will be covering the Fear of the Walking Dead. I took a week off. My good friend, AJ Mass, I just want to call him my good friend. He'll never hear this, but he's my good friend in my mind. He stepped in for me. I was very excited to hear that. And so I'll be back to talk about Fear of the Walking Dead. And then next week, I'll be talking to you again.
Okay. Back on the RHAP Rewind, of course. Had a lot of fun this week on the All-Time Top 40 season countdown. Talked about Survivor, Marquesas. Chappelle, you were vocal about Vanuatu being too low. Oh, how about Marquesas? Too low also?
Yeah, that's probably just right.
Probably right.
You know,
yeah,
like Vanuatu, I say, oh, it's too low, but like one or two spots. I mean, there's a couple seasons that I think are not as good as Vanuatu. So that's why I said it was too low. Mm-hmm. But the number itself, I was like, eh.
Hey, look, we're halfway. Come on now, people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of the work, but I was excited to hear my Fear the Walking Dead partner, Jessica Lee's talking about it. It was like, good to hear her. I was like, I missed a week and I got 4 hours of content with her in Geneva. And so that was very fun to listen.
Yeah, we had that during the week. Also, Jordan Kalish was back with Twish Ultimate Trivia. That's up in your podcast feed as well. And of course, I'm getting ready here on Friday for, we have a patron Brant Steele coming up where Mike Bloom and I are going to be having a cast of 20 patrons, a tribe of veteran patrons versus a tribe of brand new patrons in a fans versus favorite simulation. We have them all on Zoom and we'll hear their reactions to everything that plays out in the Brant Steele in our patron podcast feed coming up on Friday night. So if you're interested in that sort of nonsense that goes on, head on over to robswebsite.com/patron. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.